from the start. However, this traditional, fatalistic scenario was simply not the case. One must fully understand today the relevancy of Lee's greatest assault, because no single episode has been more poignantly represented as the Civil War's climactic and defining moment than Pickett's charge, symbolizing the central tragedy of America's Iliad of 1861 to 1865. On the final day of the largest and deadliest battle in American history, more than 51,000 casualties, more Americans died that day, more than 7,860, than the total American casualties during the Normandy invasion of early June 1944. Most importantly, Pickett's charge also effectively sealed slavery's fate. If Pickett's charge had succeeded, two sister republics might well exist to this day. Paradoxes dominate the story of Pickett's charge. At the assault's most climactic moment, the much-celebrated leader of the attack, Pickett, was not leading his troops at the front when inspired leadership was most needed, a mockery of the misnomer of Pickett's charge. However, the name of Pettigrew's charge, Pettigrew's division, four brigades, on the assault's left wing complemented Pickett's three brigades of his Virginia division, the attack's right wing, is equally unsuitable. The great assault was actually Longstreet's charge, as survivors called it before the influential Richmond Press, five leading newspapers, conjured up the catchy name of Pickett's charge, as if Hollywood scripted. Not only have the vital contributions of non-Virginians been minimized by historians, but also prominent Virginians, soldiers, civilians, and the powerful Virginia press early placed blame for the attack's repulse on them. The early, common misconception of the All-Virginia Charge, hence the popular sobriquet Pickett's Charge, obscured the significant fact that Pickett's attackers were a minority. Therefore, Pickett's charge can be more accurately called the Pettigrew Isaac Trimble Pickett charge. Likewise, shattering the self-serving myths of the influential post-war Virginia School of Civil War historiography and subsequent Virginia First Lost Cause romanticism, it was an all-Virginia brigade of Ambrose Powell Hill's corps on the far left, or north, that first broke during the assault. This early tactical setback started a disastrous chain of events, the left flank's collapse, that helped to ensure the attack's repulse. The truth of Lee's greatest assault was actually the antithesis of the carefully orchestrated myth that the failures of non-Virginia attackers doomed Pickett's charge. Endlessly derided by historians, Lee's decision to unleash his last attack at Gettysburg was his only realistic one, because this was the Confederacy's last chance to win the war in one decisive stroke. Contrary to today's traditional view that Lee's decision to attack the Union right center, an area weakened by General George Gordon Meade, the Army of the Potomac's new commander, after he had shifted troops from his center to bolster his hard-pressed flanks on the previous day, was the height of folly, the truth of Pickett's charge was altogether different. Quite simply, the attack was Lee's best opportunity to reap a decisive success after July 2nd's tactical opportunities had passed. Based on careful calculation, instead of the stereotypical view of a gambler's recklessness, Lee correctly targeted the weakest point in Meade's line, a weak spot distinguished by a copse of trees located at a high point along the open cemetery ridge. Lee correctly calculated in striking at exactly the right place and the right time, while utilizing a bold battle plan that was as brilliant as it was innovative. Gettysburg's most dominant romantic myth has been that Pickett's charge was automatically fated for failure, the traditional explanation that has been based upon the lost cause romanticism of an underdog South succumbing to impossible odds. Pickett's charge, therefore, became the most symbolic representation of the vanquishing of a southern Anglo-Saxon nation, still another myth, by overpowering might. In consequence, this crucifixion-like final demise of the greatest offensive effort ever launched by the South's most primary army on July 3rd became the most dominant symbol of a tragic martyrdom.